Friedman made two very simple assumptions about the universe: that the universe looks identical in whichever direction we look, and that this would also be true if we were observing the universe from anywhere else. From these two ideas alone, Friedman showed, by solving the equations of general relativity, that we should not expect the universe to be static. In fact, in 1922, several years before Edwin Hubble's discovery, Friedman predicted exactly what Hubble later found. The assumption that the universe looks the same in every direction is clearly not exactly true in reality. For example, as we have noted, the other stars in our galaxy form a distinct band of light across the night sky, called the Milky Way. But if we look at distant galaxies, there seems to be more or less the same number of them in every direction. So the universe does appear to be roughly the same in every direction, provided we view it on a large scale compared to the distance between galaxies and ignore the differences on small scales. Imagine standing in a forest in which the trees are growing in random locations. If you look in one direction, you may see the nearest tree at a distance of 1 meter. In another direction, the nearest tree might be 3 meters away. In a third direction, you might see a clump of trees at 2 meters. It doesn't seem as if the forest looks the same in every direction. But if you were to take into account all the trees within a 1 mile radius, these kinds of differences would average out, and you would find that the forest is the same in whichever direction you look. For a long time, the uniform distribution of stars was sufficient justification for Friedman's assumption, as a rough approximation to the real universe. But more recently, a lucky accident uncovered another respect in which Friedman's assumption is in fact a remarkably accurate description of our universe. In 1965, two American physicists at the Bell Telephone Laboratories in New Jersey, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, were testing a very sensitive microwave detector. Recall that microwaves are just like light waves, but with a wavelength of around a centimeter. Penzias and Wilson were worried when they found that their detector was picking up more noise than it ought to. They discovered bird droppings in their detector and checked for other possible malfunctions, but they soon ruled these out. The noise was peculiar in that it remained the same day and night and throughout the year, even though the Earth was rotating on its axis and orbiting around the Sun. Since the Earth's rotation and orbit pointed the detector in different directions in space, Penzias and Wilson concluded that the noise was coming from beyond the solar system, and even from beyond the galaxy. It seemed to be coming equally from every direction in space. We now know that in whichever direction we look, this noise never varies by more than a tiny fraction. So Penzias and Wilson had unwittingly stumbled across a striking example of Friedman's first assumption that the universe is the same in every direction. What is the origin of this cosmic background noise? At roughly the same time as Penzias and Wilson were investigating noise in their detector, two American physicists at nearby Princeton University, Bob Dickey and Jim Peebles, were also taking an interest in microwaves. They were working on a suggestion made by George Gamow, once a student of Alexander Friedman, that the early universe should have been very hot and dense, glowing white hot. Dickey and Peebles argued that we should still be able to see the glow of the early universe, because light from very distant parts of it would only just be reaching us now. However, the expansion of the universe meant that this light should be so greatly redshifted that it would appear to us now as microwave radiation, rather than visible light. Dickey and Peebles were preparing to look for this radiation when Penzias and Wilson heard about their work and realized they had already found it. For this, Penzias and Wilson were awarded the Nobel Prize in 1978, which seems a bit hard on Dickey and Peebles, not to mention Gamow.